Which is good because earlier that day they had came out with information saying that the attorney general said you guys can ban these guys from life and take their whole purse. So the fact that later that day they gave him half and said we're with, like, not even we're finding you the other half, we're still just withholding this, but at least you get paid this for now while we investigate.
Yeah.
Seems to me like a good sign.
What I really appreciated was that.
Yeah. And it, you know, people bring up a good point that it's like, well, at the time when he threw the dolly, he wasn't, you know, sanctioned by the commission. He wasn't going to fight that weekend and all that, whereas Khabib just ended a fight where he was sanctioned by the commission. But it's still like, you know, I think, again, like, Khabib says he could have killed someone, and people are laughing like, oh, yeah, shards of glass going in somebody's eye could have killed somebody. What if that thing would have went straight through the window and, like, bonked somebody in the head? Yes, that could have killed them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah. A few fighters, Chiesa. Look, Rose is talking about she still has... Yeah, so it's like...
Won that night, so...
Exactly.
For those tuning in, we are Round Zero, the premier MMA podcast. We are here to teach you about UFC and how to watch UFC. We're covering UFC 230. Which is now Daniel DC Cormier versus Derek the Black Beast Lewis. This is a title defense.
Yep.
I don't know why, I don't know what I'm saying, but yeah. Coming live and direct from Madison Square Garden. I myself am speaking today. I am joined by
Brain Damage.
As well as.
I don't know if I like that, but
we gotta figure it out. You could just say Fred.
You know, my professional, what I do is actually I'm an estimator, so you can call me the estimator. Construction estimator, solar estimator.
Solar.
You just call me the estimator.
The soul estimator.
We got the doctor. We got the MBA. We got the brain. The estimator. That should have been my cage name too, Monica.
Yeah. No, we're going to call him the estimation point.
this is a special one. Mikey Mo was supposed to be here, but traffic and life changes got in the way. And then, first in the race, Dr. James Hopkins was under the weather. His card is also under the weather, and almost didn't happen, so it's up to high market. So we miss you. Hope you guys get well.
Yes. Get better.
We're going to talk to you about two highlights. Sort of 3-1 fights, first one we want to address your attention to is Ryman the Cyborg Good versus Ben Killer Bees Saunders.
Saunders.
I'm going to call him Saunders because if I don't, Saunders, and then why is this important? This is ironic. Killer Bees on the swarm.
Yes.
I have much many gear that a Wu-Tang affiliate.
Right.
But I have to say one of the other comparable Wu-Tang fans would be my other Wu-Tang fans.
Right. And this is why he named himself Killer Bee. Been a fan of Ben Saunders for a long time. I seen him come out of the Tough Show, which has sadly gone downhill.
Which one was he on? Was he on season two or
no? He was somewhere within the first 10, 15. But yeah, definitely not that early. And Was he on the BJ Penn season? I don't remember.
But,
and for him to step up, I think this is 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks that he stepped in. So that shows, man. And, I mean, the dude is not on a good streak. I want to say he's lost more than he's won recently. And for him to step in, that shows he's ready to go to work. Because a lot of these guys, you know, they're on that verge of, like, you know, if you lose again, you're getting out. They're going to play it safe.
Yeah.
So Killer B, he's ready to go to war anytime. And this is, I want to say, his third stint in the UFC. So he knows what it feels like.
And it's rough because last fight was a loss. He was training for an
injury. Yeah. And three out of the last four is what that he lost. And and good is, I think, I want to say 16 months off. This guy's been off and lost his last one as well.
I'm going to say that this is in Madison Square Garden, and as we know, Wu-Tang ain't nothing to F with, especially not in my hometown. I think Saunders pulls it off, and we see a second round submission.
I think Good is from New York, though. Yeah, so I don't know.
Are they almost up with their contract, or do we know? That's why Ben probably took it, because he's probably hearing all these good contracts outside with like ONE FC and stuff like that. He's just like, just give me this last fight, I'm out.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean,
Eddie Alvarez, no money.
Right.
Hey, out. No, I'm not gonna go there. But you know, if he can pull off a championship, man. First trifecta,
right?
You know what I mean? So, and Saunders, this dude he's got highlight striking, you know, he's very dynamic, he's got the knees, he's got the Muay Thai, he believes in that Jeet Kune Do. I know you're not a big fan of Bruce, but he believes in it big time, but a lot of people sleep on his jiu-jitsu. Yeah. A lot of people sleeping on his jiu-jitsu, though. But he is 10th planet, so.
He is 10th planet. Seems to work very well for him.
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I would say it seems like the Kendo school has a
really. Yeah. Yeah, they could do a lot of no-gi, so they got a lot of experience in that.
Yeah. Is that where is Good from? No, Good's not.
I don't know. I can't tell if this brother's Latino or Indian or Indian Latino. He looks like a superhero off of some Netflix show.
He looks like Mini Overeem.
Undereem?
Undereem.
Undereem. Terrible. Who have you picked?
Why would you name yourself Cyborg? You know who Cyborg is.
Because these new guys, they have no respect.
He's not really new, though. He's just not been around the UFC too much.
Young Thug called his album Carter. It's like, I'm not a Lil Wayne fan, but I know better.
I don't know who
that
is.
So who are you picking?
I picked Saunders. I picked him by decision, but I would not be surprised if he pulls off a slick submission. First guy to pull off the omoplata in the UFC. Somebody did it a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I can't remember.
I've had a tough day at work. Tough week, so I didn't do any studying, but... But judging by the pec size of Good,
yeah,
I'm gonna pick Ben Saunders.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of that Yoel Romero beach muscle. Might be tired. Moving on to our next fight. This is my first of how could you beta fight. And the reason why I call it that is I feel punished. I want to see this division move forward, but I also don't want to see this division. So we have Cigara. Sarge Eubanks versus Roxanne Modafari. Now, why do I like these two fighters? Cigara is my soul sister. I do appreciate the way she fights. I relate to it. She moves forward. She's got these disgusting high roundhouses that catch people in the chin. And her ground and pound is... as vicious as bring that to women's MMA, it's wonderful. But at the same time, you have Happy Warrior, which, if my mom had stayed doing judo and there had been MMA back in the 50s, my mom would probably be boxing.
Yeah, yeah. I
she
agree.
Literally, like, when you, she meets, you know, and so it's kind of hard. It's sort of like, you know, my mom had a kid who was a girl she kind of used to share of, but instead she's a lot of money. So I don't want to see this thing. So, what can we expect? If it goes to the ground and Roxanne ends up on top, it's going to be a rain of elbows. If it goes to the ground and Sajara ends up on top, we're going to be bringing it down. I don't, as much as I've seen Roxanne striking from leaps and bounds, I don't know that she came in the pocket with the jar. She's spending all her time with Sancho fighters like Fabi and Jim Kunku. So I think, sadly, I believe Sajara will win that decision.
I would agree with you. Sajara's definitely a lot faster than Roxanne. Roxanne's generally pretty stiff whenever we I've seen her fight. Yeah, so she's not light on the feet, so I definitely would agree with you.
Yeah, if she keeps it standing, I would agree with you too. But I think, you know, Roxanne has way too much experience to know that she needs to get this fight to the ground. Her jiu-jitsu is leaps and bounds better than Sarge. Obviously, Sarge can negate that with the wrestling. But I just feel like Mata Ferry's been around so long. She's been, you know, fighting since, I think, 2003. It was something like that. Overcome, like, a six-fight, four-year losing streak to, you know, up her game. Came through the tough house. And I just feel like her experience factor is going to be what wins her this fight. And I got her winning by submission.
Nice. Those were our prelims. There are some other exciting fights that you should check out. We're just not going to talk about them.
But you could read about them on our blog post.
Absolutely. We're there. Enjoy, comment, criticize, and make a lot of sound. Other than that, we are going to take a commercial break. For commercials we don't have, use the bathroom, take some water, and we'll be back. I am the Sweet NBA. I am joined by
Brett the Estimator.
As well as
Brain.
Everything you see, experience, visualize, brought to you by Green Man Productions and the illustrious super producer by the name of Deshaun Davis. We'll be right back.
This is Cage Against the Machine. Get at us. True.
On the other hand, he's facing my wife's very favorite fighter. Although he is Nigerian, he lives in Auckland and finds out he's in kickboxing. The mentality of many of the young boys. So who are we talking about? None other than Derek Brunson versus Israel, the last Stylebender. This is an exceptionally hard fight to figure out. I'm going to try to be as respectful as possible or be interpreted as respectful as possible. But Derek Brunson puts his head down and starts throwing his wild playmaker-esque punch. This fight is not going to last very long. It's been proven to be his weakness over and over again. At the same time, if he actually is tactical, takes his time, and wrestles Israel, as good as Israel's counter-wrestling is, I do not believe he has faced the type of sheer will in wrestling training that Brunson has. And I think those roles will be countered, and Wright is such a good matchup. I think Derek knows this is coming time that he wants to stay in the UFC. Israel is really trying to make himself known in the top five of the tribes. And at the end of the belt, I think this fight is going to be such a back and forth that it ends in a draw.
Wow. Go ahead, Bray.
No, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I pretty much wrote the exact same thing that, you know, I feel like Brunson has fell in love with his striking lately. He's forgotten about his wrestling roots, and this is the fight where he needs to bring it back. If he does not, he will get knocked out. If he does, I got him winning the decision. I love the fact that Israel has been climbing the ladder like a young stud should. He's not going, like, you know, they're building this guy up the way they should. They're each fight, his competition is getting better and better. And he did face somewhat of, you know, a good grappler in Brad Tavares in his last fight and was able to negate those takedowns. Tavares is not the wrestler that Brunson is. So we'll see where that takedown defense is if Brunson decides to, you know, use his tools to the best of his ability and try to take this fight to the ground. And we'll see where the last style bender is in that aspect. But if Brunson, once again, is in love with his striking, then I don't see this fight going the distance.
Yeah, I like the last style bender a lot.
Yeah.
Watching him fight smooth. He picks his shots. He's smart. I think he's part of this new breed of fighters. Derek Brunson's old. He's experienced, but been around the block. But then style benders bring something new to the table. Smooth. I'm excited about him, and I'm picking him to win TKO probably in the third round or something like that.
Let's be real, the guy is charismatic as hell. He's funny.
Nice.
Yeah, he's confident. He's not overconfident to where it's cocky. You know, maybe a little bit, but enough to where, you know, it's not too irritating, at least from my perspective. And the style is just flashy. It's fun to watch. And if he can negate those takedowns, he's going to be a problem in that middleweight division for a lot of people. Yeah.
Enough said, right?
Yeah.
Moving on to our next fight. We have Carl Baby K. Robinson versus Jack the Hammer Marshman.
Why are they facing the same way?
Right. Because, look, there's somebody who pretends to work at the UFC on the website. And they're never there and they never do any work. And we've offered Dana White for a small fee of $12 million. Can hire us. And we
just awkward.
It just it looks like an R&B sing off.
Looks like they're on the same team.
It does. It also looks like they rebooted the real world. If we're honest, Baby K looks like a teenager. However,
I don't know these fighters, so tell me about them.
Baby K came out of Dana White's Looking for a Fight.
Yep.
He starches people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in his last fight, he lost. So that was the first loss of his career, and we all know that's when you start really growing.
How did he lose?
I want to say he got finished.
Oh, yeah. Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
But I think it was like a submission, right?
I think so. Because I wrote how in my blog, I think it was his first fight of his career. He went the distance, and then since then, he's never been out of the first round.
Right.
So just all been first knocking round apples. Finishes, and then he got submitted in the first round, or not. Pretty sure it was submission.
Marshman, on the other hand. He's very close to Marshmallow.
belly. Dude, he's definitely sucking that belly in for the whole picture.
Reminds me of, reminds me of like,
so the weird thing is that these guys are the exact same age, and one of them has 7 fights, and one has 7 losses and 22 wins.
Right.
So there's a big experience factor, even though they're both still young.
It's also a fight culture. I would say that maybe MMA has been going to that part of Britain much longer than where Baby K is. Like, you and I know, I mean, it's a podcast, right? It's like, every one person who knows how to do a show on the street is a 100 people who remember. I mean, I hate to keep referencing it, but I think that was the biggest takeaway from our movie versus Connor, was that Americans started looking at the sport the same way they look at boxing. I have a feeling it's going to be Robertson.
Well, Marshman came into the UFC on a 6-fight streak and has gone 2-2, flip-flopping his wins and losses. So he's definitely got the experience factor. Again, Robertson's very young in the game. So there's that experience of, okay, they're both 28, but one has been fighting for 5 years longer than the other. But that's 5 years of wear and tear on his body that the other doesn't have.
Right.
Yeah, with someone with that record, it's like you want to see how they actually step in the ring, if they're the same person every single fight, and if they are, generally the young buck usually takes them because he's new.
But then you also have that strategy where it's like, I've been here before. I've experienced 3 main things that you haven't experienced, right, where you might be stronger, but I'll thank you. So.
Mm-hmm. Be an interesting fight nonetheless. It's certainly not taco time. I will say this about this main card, that everything in the main card is interesting to me, as opposed to some of the fights that are pretty much on my own cam, right? And I just see more from all night. But that might be a time for me to show up because I'm so much competitive in the world. Do you guys have anything more to add to this point? I appreciate you for doing the homework, because I'm just not going to.
Yeah. I did put Marshman by decision, but I would not be surprised if Roberson just comes in and just catches him with a hot one and puts him to sleep. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Moving on, we have David Branch versus Jared the Killer Gorilla. Now, if Jake Atkins was here, he would tell you the right way to pronounce it. I'm not here for that. I'm not here to get your name right, bro. I'm here to make sure people watch who your name is. What do we know about David Branch?
Branch is, he got his second stint in the UFC off of being double champ in the World Series of Fighting at middleweight and light heavyweight.
And World Series of Fighting is now called?
Risen. Is that Risen?
No, it's PFL.
That's the PFL?
That's PFL.
See,
that's
I did not know. So he left,
right?
And then now they have a $1 million tournament going on. So he's
owned by what network? NBC.
Yeah, NBC.
Where is UFC going to put the contract next year?
ESPN.
And?
I don't know. Is it ABC?
NBC. Don't be surprised if Tough becomes a big deal.
Yeah, but Tough. Gives away a 6-figure contract, whereas PFL's doing a $1 million tournament.
David Branch, incredible Muay Thai fighter out of Brooklyn.
Brownsville at that, right?
Right. Come on. I'm on the mic. On top of which, I Then gone on to train over at the immigration school, which is good. It's a pretty wide stance to his team. It's wide one. You're not going to be able to live that. Jim Tanier, on the other hand, he got swept recently.
Who did he get swept? Thank you for doing all this homework. Who did Tanier get knocked out by?
I don't know, but he's actually lost three out of his last four.
Ooh, so this,
so again, and another guy that stepped up on short notice.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, if he can't get the job done, hopefully the company remembers, hey, you did us a favor. We're not going to cut you.
That's
why I'm like, I put it out there so that.
Yeah. Now, I mean, if I look at this card, there are a lot of dudes that are like,
yeah. Because Branch was originally supposed to fight Jacare Souza, who is now in the co-main event after Rockhold went down.
Right, so this is a good savior for Branch. And this is very favoritism. You know, if you guys don't remember, Branch put some hands on Rockhold for a little bit. And Rockhold had been
like,
let me take you back.
Right, and Rockhold, I want to say, is the only man to beat Branch in about 6 or 7 years,
right.
13 fights or something like that. So, and again, I mean, you know, the World Series of Fighting, or the PFL for that matter, is not the UFC, but still, to win two belts in two different weight classes is a big accomplishment.
To get into the ring, to get into the cage is a big accomplishment.
Yeah.
To get off the bus. Show up, make weight, and let them lock the door with a trained murderer while millions of people can make a meme of you. Who do we think is going to win?
I got Branch.
I got Jared by TKO.
He does have hands.
I feel like Branch's weakness is when he gets on the ground.
I don't know enough about the fighters to make an educated guess, so... I'm going to judge by looks.
Yeah,
and it's going to go with the killer gorilla, man. He's got determination.
Ain't that how Mikey Mosley used to make picks?
Right.
Oh, okay, so.
I'm tired of you.
Matter of fact, when we started, that's how Deshaun used to make picks, too.
He still makes picks that way.
He's like, look, and it works.
I feel a little more comfortable now. So this is the thing about this show, that we can judge by looks?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We'll talk all the stuff about social justice and give people a chance and open your mind until the fight starts. And we're going to judge you not on the content of your character, but on the appearance of how you look.
I'm picking the killer gorilla is because David Branch got no leg reach. So
right.
He's got no leg reach.
He might even just come in on his waist.
Don't talk about short people. I'm going to get offended. I feel like David Branch, though, he looks like the RoboCop if he took off all the metal. He's just like, Ed 2-0. Dead or alive, you are coming with me. Yeah. Banana in the tailpipe.
Yeah, no, that's everything else counts.
Ah, they all mix in together.
Was that like time travelers? Next fight. Next fight.
Producer, you're fired. Moving on.
Jacare gets so buff.
Hey, Jacare, what you been? Hey, Jacare, Shannon,
got that chest coming out.
What's his name? Vitor, huh?
Jacare to me looks like a Killer Croc.
He is Killer Croc.
Yeah.
If we're honest.
Right.
But also, so does
Derek name? Lewis looks like Killer Croc.
Derek Lewis looks like what is that big gorilla that lives in the sewer? Grog? Drog? What is his name?
That's Croc. That's Croc, too, right? That's Croc, right?
Grodd.
Batman? Grodd. Batman villain?
Grodd. Groot.
Does he live in the sewer just because you watched one episode of Grodd? Don't you know about Gorilla Grodd? Don't you know about Gorilla Grodd?
I know about McGilla Gorilla.
He started the Legion of Doom, son.
Ah, what a rush. That's the Legion of Doom I know about.
No, the other one. So how do we frame this next fight?
Weidman is delusional. That's how I frame this.
Well, he did. Do you actually believe so? Let's explain. This All-American Weidman versus Ronaldo Jacare Souza.
Souza.
I don't know. He's Souza.
All I know is every time I hear his name, I want a quesadilla suiza.
So, the All-American versus the Crocodile. Very interesting here. Chris Weidman believes if he wins, he becomes number one contender for
Weidman. But you can't lose three straight and then beat Gaslam, who was in his first fight coming up from 170, and who has now hit his stride in 185 and is going for a title shot. But and that was over a year ago. It was what, July 2017, and now you deserve a title shot?
Why do you think? Why would you call it a stride?
I don't remember, but he's won like two or three in a row.
Okay, so he knocked out Bisping like 2 weeks after Bisping.
He was the former champ.
He knocked out Vitor, and Vitor was the champ.
He's still a legend.
I hate you. Come on, keep it real. This is the first credible 185 fight with his training partner, Chris Weidman. He got smoked.
But no, that was his first fight at 185, period, though.
Right, he still got smoked.
What's the decision, right? No?
No, it wasn't. He didn't smoke him, though. Gaslam dropped him in the first round.
Yeah.
But like, you got dropped by a 170er and then you had to out wrestle him. And after a 3-fight losing streak, you deserve a title shot.
Don't you believe isn't Gaslam the wrestler? Isn't he the wrestler, though?
No, Weidman's the wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Well, they're both wrestlers. But which one of them has that little Texas All American tattoo? Weidman. That's that wrestler tattoo. Yes. What is that, from Arizona State?
No, it's from all of them. All of them have the wrestlers. This is a national wrestling
code. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. All of them.
Yeah. So Gaslam doesn't have that tattoo.
Gaslam doesn't have it. And Gaslam has plenty of time.
Mexican food.
Speaking of Mexican food. So, with my random mind, how do we see this going? Well, this is a very intriguing fight, and I'm really glad that Fred's here because he can help. Because I am a big fan of jiu-jitsu, but I do not nearly have a skill set to fight this. But what can we tell you about Chris Weidman? Chris Weidman is not only a student of boxing, but he's a direct student of Matt Serra in terms of jiu-jitsu. He's a direct student of Enzo Gracie. He's not only trained under Matt Serra, he's trained under John Donovan. He's a lot of those. So he had low key type jiu-jitsu, which is what complemented his wrestling. It made him incredible. If people go back and ever watch the first fight, they have him and so when he went to the ground, it was argued that many of the races that Weidman should have clearly come to the ground. However, you have Jacare. And Jacare is Brazilian Portuguese for Crocodile.
I don't know.
I just do
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I don't speak Portuguese.
I couldn't tell you the difference in actual, like, animalism. So.
See you later, alligator, after a while, crocodile. So, one's bigger than the other. And that's a big
challenge. All right, Steve Irwin.
Yeah, you see alligators in Florida, you see crocodiles in Egypt. But you see the biggest one. What can we really say about Souza? How do you do this right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Grew up as a childhood competitor in jiu-jitsu and is famous for going through a tournament where he came down to him versus Roger Gracie, who at that time was like the most incredible 185 broke his arm or tore his shoulder or something?
Something like that.
Something like that. He did something famous where he tied his arm to his body and still won. So his jiu-jitsu and grappling has always been incredible. As we've seen in recent days, his striking has really come up. He's been on a tear except for he put a stoppage to Yoel Romero, if I remember. The only person who really stopped him in his tracks was
right.
So I'm very intrigued to see this because I want this fight to go to the ground. Because
yes.
Weidman is supposed to be the most violent grappler, you know, jiu-jitsu guy ever. He was supposed to get tested by Alan Belcher, and I don't know what happened with that. Alan Belcher just seemed to quit. I really want to see this high-level jiu-jitsu grappling out of Weidman, and nobody's taking him there.
Well, here's the thing with these guys. So Weidman, wrestler background, but does good jiu-jitsu. Jacare, good jiu-jitsu, but they're both – Jacare's game is also a top guy. So Chris Weidman's game is definitely a top guy. Jacare, if you watch his jiu-jitsu tournaments and his jiu-jitsu, he's always a top guy. So whoever ends up on the bottom, I think it's going to definitely lose. They're both top wrestlers, so I think they negate each other as far as submission wrestling. It would have to be Jacare, if anything. Yeah. I don't see Chris practicing a lot off his back. He's more of a top. Yeah, I haven't seen Chris actually on his back, but Jacare definitely has a game off his back if needed. Yeah.
So it would be safe to say that probably.
Yeah, that's what I put. I put Jacare by jiu-jitsu.
Right.
Right.
I didn't pick a round. I would say second, coming out of a scramble. I think Chris has lost his mojo too. I mean, I said that last time about Okukui, but I don't know. Chris has been making excuses for his losses like recently. Oh, I got a knee in the head and all this stuff. It's just it's not a good mentality for a fighter. I hope he comes out of it, but right now he's on a slump.
I
don't know.
Let's be real. I mean, you know what? I'm just going to leave it alone. I was going to bring up the whole Anderson thing, and I feel like he got a little lucky that Anderson wasn't thrown back, but it is what it is. And he knocked him out. Then he broke his leg, and then he beat a couple of OGs in Vitor and Lyoto, and he thought he was the greatest fighter of all time, and then he got humbled by Rockhold, and he wasn't humbled. And he got humbled by Yoel, and he wasn't humbled. And he got humbled by who was the third guy that beat him? Because I know he lost three in a row before he beat him. Yes, Gegard.
Oh yeah, Gegard.
So it was actually Rockhold, Gegard, and then Yoel, right?
A spinning sidekick, or what? What's
that?
He did?
Knee.
A knee. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I feel, and the dude is good. Don't get me wrong. I don't like him personally. He has a Hawaiian wife, so I give you props there, but I still, you know, I'm like, whatever.
I thought she was Puerto Rican.
She's both.
You're wearing a Hawaiian shirt and...
Are you married to Chris Weidman?
Well, I'm not a pretty New York chick, so no.
That's why he's getting knee in the head.
Brain!
No.
Weidman's getting hit knee in the head because he's like a traditional wrestler. Like, Greco-Roman wrestling keeps you upright because you're only upper body. But then when you're used to, like, down your knees, shooting from the knees, that's why you're prone to, like, knees to the head.
And let's be real. Sometimes the grappling aspect of a wrestler versus a jiu-jitsu guy negates to a striking fight.
Yeah, and also I think it's easy. And again, it's easy to talk about. I think we're all decided that this is Jacare's fight.
Yep.
And if Biden is right, then we see Jacare facing
Whitaker. Well, Whitaker's got to fight Gaston first, right? No, I'm just saying it wouldn't be that soon. It wouldn't be that soon.
It won't be that soon.
So I think my thing is all I was pointing that out is I have a feeling this Branch Jacare fight will get rebooked before one of them gets the title. If they both win.
We'll see you in 2019. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I am the Sweet NBA, joined by
The Estimator,
as well as The Brain.
Damaged Brain.
And everything we see.
main event of the evening.
I would like to get super hyped about this, but I can't lie to you. It says that it's a heavyweight title belt. It's more of a thanks for saving the card, guys. It's something about this next guy, every time he gets to Madison Square Garden, he has to take a fight that he knows he can win. So, I'm not mad at that. We have Daniel D.C. Cormier, the two-time double champ, versus Derek, my big black balls are a beast, Lewis. This is not...
Pause.
He said it. He was talking about this. This is not a deep conversation. Let me say a couple things before we start. DC stepping into the Octagon will be the first time anything named DC has thrown up something good on a theater-sized screen in the last 5 years.
I seriously thought you were talking about the Redskins for a second.
There's so much to talk about here. I wonder why. People ask me, why do you wear this shirt every time? Because I knew when he fought Rumble, he would beat this guy. We knew that we were going to end up here. I think there's a moment that we've been talking about. Really is there's a lot to be said about the McGregor the bees off the crowd kind of doing calling him out about it, and he gets picked up and put back in the Octagon, and somebody's like shaking him around, like, hey, you need to chill, calm down. And he looks left to right, and it's Daniel Cormier, it's Luke Rockhold. And the look he gives them, as they're just destroying Conor McGregor, the looks he gives them is like, oops, my bad. Sorry, big homie. And you got to love the character of who is Daniel Cormier and the integrity that he has to have. Instrumental he was when we first met him. Hey, we do this podcast for this audience. He's like, what do you need from me? Do I think that Derek Lewis has done enough to earn a title shot for the heavyweight belt? If I'm honest, no. Do I think that that Daniel Cormier picked an opponent that could challenge for him as he's open about his last two fights? No. Daniel Cormier is trying to get paid. Derek Lewis is trying to get paid. I'm going to ask him for him doing it.
Yeah, I mean, he said it himself. He you know, on the spot, he was asked, you know, do you feel like you deserve this shot? Is it something that you really wanted, or you couldn't pass it up? And he said, I couldn't pass it up. He even said after his last fight, which was not a dominant performance, his last two fights were not dominant performance, even though they were wins. He did knock the last guy out. The one before that, we're not going to mention. And he even said, you know, I need to work on my cardio. I'm not ready for a title shot, but they said we need to save this card, so
yeah.
They probably said, this is what we're going to pay you, and he was like, sign me up.
Right. And he just fought a month ago.
Right.
And DC, we know, still got to get him. There's a lot of possibilities that could happen. There's many things that could happen in this fight. The safe bet is Cormier keeps it interesting it's a 5-round heavyweight belt. I don't think that Lewis can barely make it through 3. So I don't see them doing... This is some old, you know, Hulk Hogan Ultimate Warrior where DC's going to try to carry him for a while. Depending on the look that Dana gives him, could be a submission in the second, could be a submission in the fourth round, but ultimately, Daniel Cormier will beat Derek Lewis by submission.
This is how I see it going.
Okay.
They're going to get in a cage.
Yes.
DC's going to punch some. Derek Lewis is going to punch a little bit. DC's going to get in a clinch, get an underhook, take his back, bring him down, try to finish him. Derek Lewis is hanging in there. That's going to go on for a couple rounds. And then fourth round, same thing. DC's going to get the underhook, go to his back, bring him, drag him down. And then Derek Lewis's balls are going to get hot. and gets mighty hot. He's going to be pissed. He's going to get up. They're going to separate a little bit, and Derek Lewis is going to swing overhand right and knock out DC in the fourth round because his balls are hot.
When he said they're going to separate a little bit and they're going to swing, he wasn't talking about his arms. Look, the Black Beast is dangerous no matter what. The guy's got extreme power.
The Beast.
No matter how tired he is, he can knock you out. So I don't think I disagree. I don't think DC's going to take this guy lightly at all. I did order my Balls Was Hot shirt. I will be wearing it fight night, but let's be real. This is DC versus Rumble 3.0, and we know that DC can take those hard shots and survive it and also have him winning by submission.
I was riding the Black Beast train last card, so I just can't. I can't get off.
Yeah, I love this guy. No doubt.
I know it's DC.
Follow him on Instagram?
Yeah.
I feel like
I followed him way before. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like,
from his debut, yeah.
He's an amazing guy. I think he'd be a great champion. I just don't think this is the time for it.
He's not
a
MMA.
No, yeah.
I'm not an MMA.
Yeah.
So, the people he rolls around, all jokes aside, it'll be entertaining. It will be funny. He'll probably say something hilarious. And, you know.
Is he disrespecting the Popeye's chicken, man?
Absolutely. I mean,
he's doing it for the Popeye's chicken.
The winner, whoever wins, is going to immediately be on the podcast. So I'm excited about that.
They should just, it doesn't matter who wins, they should be on the podcast with Rogan together.
I don't see DC.
Fair.
But I do see Derek Lewis.
Yeah.
I mean, he might even bring some lean.
Well, it's going to have to. Well, October is almost. A matter of fact, after that, I'm tripping. Sober October is done by the time this fight happens. Joe Rogan is going to be high at the commentator booth. It would be for me because my birthday is in October, so I can't do it.
You know,
Omar coming.
Yeah, exactly. You know what we do.
My balls was hot.
You know, punch warm up. Let's do it. This has been a lot of fun, you guys.
Yes.
But it's okay. Those of you in the Bay Area, we will be at Siebel and Jacqueline and Square. If you are able, come by. And if you use the secret code that will be included in the blog, Sean will help you get the secret dessert. That is at Siebel. Only if you use the code that's in the blog. Other than that, I'm the Sweet MBA. I am joined by
Red the Estimator.
As well as
Brain Damage.
We are produced, created, edited, and visualized by the great, the wonderful, the all-powerful, Sean Davis, the super producer at Dream Air Productions. It has been an absolute pleasure. We'll see you next month. Without further ado,
Jill! Ha ha! Yeah!